The hailing frequencies are open because this is Geek History Lesson Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And we are talking about James Bond for not the last and not the first time.
Yeah, we talked about that. Again, we're recording this way ahead of No Time to Die, but we talked about maybe doing a full review of it. If and when it comes about.
Yeah, because we've done movie reviews in the past. Again, had intended.
And we've been excited about this. This besides Wonder Woman 1984 was the movie that I was the most bummed that it got delayed.
But what about Dune, Jason?
I mean, I'm excited for Dune, but Dune is such a I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna do a His Dark Materials style lesson on that, and it's gonna be hard to come up with.
Yeah, but I'm very excited about what's gonna happen next for this guy.
We had talked initially about
it's gonna be some nice music for you.
The James Bond, the Daniel Craig years folding in No Time to Die, including No Time to Die, as we sort of dovetailed out of it, and then. We were afraid we would forget stuff, and we were so sick of waiting around that we just recorded it.
Yeah, we just wanted to record it because
this is actually something I'd love people's comments on this post. If you would like to hear a full No Time to Die review, just sound off and let us know. I know it's a surfer song, but it's so good.
It's adaptable. It's like the Star Trek original series theme song. Like if a good song is a good song,
it transcends
genre. If it can be adapted into any kind of music form, and it still works.
So I went to performing arts high school. My high school jazz band, we learned how to play that James Bond song.
I think every
theme,
kid. I think every high school band did.
I don't know, but mine did. It was fun.
All right, Ashley. I want to talk about. So again, we know nothing about No Time to Die. And I believe we've had pieces of this conversation again here, but we know this is Daniel Craig's final movie
because it's the fifth one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about.
I don't think he's going to sign up for more.
I honestly don't want him to. I think he is getting a little bit old in the teeth and
long in the tooth,
and old in the teeth. That is happening as well. But it's the same as superheroes. There's a certain age where I think that most actors should mosey all along. I don't know. Actually, I was looking at the computer behind me, so I was.
The screensaver came on. Oh, I think it's 50. I think once you hit 50,
I agree.
That's your last hurrah as James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or as bruisers, as people with fistfights and having sexy ladies around and sexy men around as well. So Ashley, I want to ask you.
Oh my God, if James Bond slept with a sexy man, I would lose my mind.
You're more recent to the James Bond franchise than I am, just, by circumstance.
Yeah.
And where do you, I've said before, and I believe I said this in one of the other James Bond episodes, and I might have said this in one of the other extras, and I'm sorry, everybody, if we're repeating ourselves, but I really want the James Bond franchise to be inspired by Kingsman, to kind of take that aspect of it and to go more superheroist, but also with a retro feel. I want the James Bond movies to feel like the 60s again and to feel cool. And the James Bond movie, even the Daniel Craig movies, don't feel cool. But
I disagree.
They don't feel cool. And I want to hear your thoughts. If I'm but I'm the Broccolis, right?
Hi.
I'm Michael Broccoli, Ashley.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Welcome. Thank you for we'll give you. Let's just prep it. All right. Hey, hi, Ashley. I'm Michael Broccoli.
Hi, Michael. It's so nice to meet you.
Hello. Welcome. We heard about your amazing work on Jupiter Jet and Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio, and I have to say that your performance in Macbeth 2022 was riveting.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we see that you've done some writing, and no worries about doing a full pitch. We don't want to scare you with a full pitch, but we wanted to bring you in and just hear your thoughts on the James Bond franchise, and we're saying a big if. Of course, there's lots of talks with agents and lawyers and things like that. You know how it is.
And big butts.
Yes. And harumps and stuff like that. Yes. If you had the ability to make your own James Bond movie, what would you do? Where would you take the franchise, Ashley?
So my immediate thought, and if you told me before this meeting, I kind of did some research. My immediate thought is to go back to the original source material, the original books. I love Ian Fleming's James Bond books.
We do too, Ashley. That's why we own the rights.
I know. And you've mined a lot of them.
We have.
And certainly in terms of titles, but I would want to go back and thematically see what they were going for. I would also look, I would also be very interested in seeing what we could bring from other espionage luminaries. Like, what does John le Carré do with his Smiley's People universe that we could bring here? I think that would be very useful.
So may I ask a follow-up question here? Are you looking, Michael Broccoli, by the way, I know I sound like Dr. Strange.
You do a little bit, but that's okay.
Michael Broccoli here. Maybe I'll go a little higher. He's a little bit more refined. Hey. Hi, I'm Michael Broccoli. And you bring it up John le Carré, a fantastic writer. Are you saying you would like to make the Bond movies a little bit more serious and not as, let's say, flamboyant?
I would like them to be a little more grounded. Now, I know that's a weird word to throw around for James Bond, but what I mean by that is particularly in his approach to the villain.
I see.
I would like to see James Bond go against a villain in a battle of wits. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking...
We have Blofeld, Ashley.
I know you're sitting there thinking that James Bond is not a smarty pants. That's what Sherlock is for. That's what other franchises are for. But I would like to see him go against a really smart villain played by like a Tom Hiddleston type, probably, and beat him using brute force, because that is what James Bond is really, really good at. And I would like to take James Bond to a exotic locale he has not been to before.
Oh,
I think
Antarctica.
Great.
We are scouting Antarctica as we speak. Ashley.
If I could choose something alternate,
fine. Yes.
There is a really interesting Greg Pak comic book that deals with Korean agents.
I see.
So I would like to take James Bond. I know he's been to Asia before.
Ashley, we're not a big fan of Korea because we did that in Die Another Day. And that is the movie that killed the franchise.
Well, then maybe Japan. China's a really hot market. We've gone to China a little bit
before. We've had a lot of luck with Japan.
Vietnam.
You Only Live Twice is set in Tokyo.
Great.
Yes.
So I would like to take him to, like I said, a locale we haven't been to before. And if you, I know you're probably reticent to do James Bond in New York.
No, we're very excited about it, actually. If you can figure out, if you have a take about 007 in New York in a way that we could incorporate that title yet without saying that title, we would be totally down.
So you don't want to call it James Bond in New York?
No, our test groups have shown that viewers are just confused. They call it goofy, but they are responding to Bond in Brooklyn.
Bond. Going to have him fight the Gowanus Canal?
We're going to have him fight every goddamn man in Brooklyn.
He's
going to sleep his way through the borough.
Sure. Well, if he's in Brooklyn, can he sleep with men and women?
Ashley, we love you. You're great. You're fantastic. The death scene in Macbeth 2022 brought me to tears. But you have to realize that we're not a very forward-thinking producing company.
I know that. Yes. I know that about
Might be
you.
Another 20 years off before James Bond kisses a man.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but I'd love to see it. I'd pitch it in a heartbeat.
Can I, this is Jason Inman, by the way. Hello.
Yeah, hi. My writing partner and collaborator and more proficient screenwriter, Jason Inman.
I like your ideas.
Thank you.
I've said this in a couple of places too. Like, I would love, I think there's a story, if you're giving this to me, right? I think there's a story to Bond going through the colonies.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the British colonies. I think there's a story to Bond is in America. Bond has never gone to Australia, by the way. He's only been to America, I believe, twice in the movies.
I mean, I don't think he's ever done Canada.
And I don't think he's ever done Canada. Now, I realize that those are very white, very boring countries. But like, I think there's something to, if you were like, there's something to being like, what is the North by Northwest of Bond?
Well,
movies?
If you do Canada, Canada has the largest supply of fresh water in the world. So I know water didn't go over super well in Quantum of Solace, but as you mentioned in the main episode, it's actually one of the smartest aspects of that movie. And it is a very pressing concern.
If I was to
so
make
you could
this,
do something with that.
If I was to make this pitch just on the spot, like I am doing right now.
Yeah.
The teaser is New York, so we can get the 007 in New York.
Also, New York is like iconic and beautiful.
He goes back to London, he goes to Canada,
this briefing,
and the climax is Australia.
Interesting.
In the outback.
There are also like other English colonies, you know.
Sure. Well, you know what? India. Okay, here we go. He goes, the teaser is the United States in New York. He goes back to London. Mm-hmm. He makes a brief stopover in India.
Great.
Then he goes to Australia.
Also, I don't think America technically considered a colony anymore.
I know, but it's the idea.
I'm just nitpicking.
Like I said, I'm very fascinated with push it to Kingsman. I like your idea of having a smarter villain.
I would also want to do an original villain. I can't pull off the top of my head who the villain of James Bond in New York. Because I don't know the last time I read that book.
But short story, so I don't know if it has a villain.
But I wouldn't want to do. I know the Broccolis would want to do Blofeld, or that would probably be on the table. I wouldn't want to touch that personally.
Well, it depends on what they do with No Time to Die.
I mean, yes, this is me operating with no knowledge of what that movie
is. Yes, exactly.
But assuming he's not in that or doesn't get murdered, I'm assuming that he's probably a character they're going to want to keep around.
I would want to steal something from the Mission Impossible movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Mission Impossible movie franchise has gotten a little goofy with this.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the fun of Mission Impossible is that you're never quite certain what the villain's plan is until the last act. Now, some Bond movies are really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Most Bond movies are really bad at that. The villain's plan is usually pretty obvious from the very beginning.
Yes. The other reason I brought up Korea specifically is because then I think James Bond should borrow from Mission Impossible in that Mission Impossible movies, which I don't care for, always have a tentpole stunt.
That's another thing I would steal.
I wouldn't steal a stunt because you're never going to be Tom Cruise killing himself on film.
Mm-hmm.
I would steal an excellent fight scene. And if you do Korea, you can get the guys from The Raid.
Oh, cool.
Which, I mean, you could hire them either way.
You could still hire them and not set the movie in their own country.
But, you know, if you're going to hire two Koreans, why not do Korea,
I get
right?
what you're saying. I would like, again, I would like it to be a mystery.
Yes.
I would like it to be a mystery that 007 has to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. I'd create an original villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there would be something to be honest with you, I think there would be something that it is a colony person. It is an aborigine person.
A native person.
Yes. That is
an indigenous person.
That is sort of like, this is the extra so I can say it, fuck the crown.
Yeah.
The whole plan is fuck England.
Man, though, that would be real cool in America if you cast someone who has a really striking look. Or in Canada, right? I think of someone who would look now the way Rodney Grant looked in Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be cool.
Any other final thoughts? We gave them a lot in the main episodes. That's why
I will say if I got a chance to bitch the Broccolis, I'm sure this has already been discussed. I'm not convinced she's not in No Time to Die, but I'd be like, why not Phoebe Waller-Bridge's though?
Oh, I bet you she has a cameo somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would have been, if we didn't have a Moneypenny, who I love Naomi Harris's Moneypenny, she would have been a great Moneypenny.
Oh, yeah.
In the traditional, I'm sitting behind the desk and ribbing you and we have a relationship kind of way.
Let's put this out here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do, of the three supporting characters, mm-hmm. Ben Whishaw's Q,
mm-hmm.
Naomi Harris's Moneypenny, and Ralph Fiennes' M, do any of them survive to the next movie after No Time to Die?
They will keep Ralph Fiennes.
I agree. I don't know if they'll keep the other two.
I think they might keep Ben Whishaw. I don't think they're going to keep Naomi Harris. I would be fine either way, personally.
Now, if you go by the past, you can recast either of those parts, and who cares?
You can also recast them during the tenure of a James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Ben Whishaw Q continue, just because I'm very, very fond of what he brings to the character.
But they all are sort of name actors, so
yes, they are.
They make the budget a little bit more expensive.
They absolutely do. Like I said, I'd be fine if they all carried on. I would also be fine if we blank slated it.
I really hope we keep Ralph Fiennes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I really hope. But
it would make the most sense, I think, to keep.
To be honest with you, I hope all three of them survive, because I would like to see some long tenure. I would love it if Ben Whishaw is Q for the next 30 years.
Until he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
kind of like the Doctor. You're like, let somebody stick around for more than three series.
Yes.
If they want to. Capaldi said he would have.
Yes. And to be honest with you, if Ben Whishaw is like, look, I'll take the day rate.
Just thought about Peter Capaldi and James Bond.
He'd be a great villain.
He'd also be a great M.
He'd be a great M.
If I was going to make him a villain, which he would be a great villain because he swears the house down, he's got to do full Scottish.
I'm going to tell you, if I ever had the chance, and it's too bad because he died before I ever even had a chance, but if I, and he probably would have never done it because he's a very smart gentleman and he was very cantankerous about this type of stuff. My dream Bond villain would have been played by Patrick McGoohan.
Ooh, he'd have been great.
Now, listeners, if you don't know who Patrick McGoohan is, get to the Google.
He's the prisoner.
But he is, but also for he's from a show called Secret Agent Man.
Oh,
which
yeah.
a lot of people think is the a big inspiration of James Bond.
You know who's in also in The Prisoner?
Who?
Lord Carlton.
Yes, he is.
The first Geek History Lesson voice that Jason ever did.
That's right. But Patrick McGoohan died quite a while ago. But I think he would have been like a fantastic Bond villain.
Speaking of Cumberbatch's, he's another one where I can't imagine, I can't understand why he's not in a James Bond yet.
Too expensive.
Bond
movies, they even though they spend a lot of money, they spend a lot of money on the action sequences. They don't like to spend money on actors.
Yeah.
They don't. Not until recently. Not until Daniel Craig.
Have we talked about who we think should play the next James Bond yet?
Yes, I believe we have.
Okay.
Yeah. And on that note. Yeah.
So much louder than I was emotionally prepared for.
All right, everybody. You know, the Bond is right because we thank you for your support. And, we're going to go eat some pizza. That's a little bit of inside knowledge here.
I was trying to bring that up on the main episode, but I couldn't figure out how to.
Nobody would understand.
Now we're listening to pizza.
Well, the Patreons, they help us with the support, so they get to know that we're going to fill our bellies with pizza.
Yummy.
Delicious.
Yep.
Well, thanks. If you're wondering why the...
You're swell.
The Patreon... Yeah, you're the bee's knees. If you're wondering why the Patreon thought of the day or whatever it is going to be called is not in this episode, it's because we recorded way before any of you would have wrote these.
Yeah, there's a handful of these that we pre-recorded to be dispersed at
months
any time
ahead.
Throughout this year.
Months, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and if it's anything like last year, we'll put one out in December, so who knows?
Yeah, patrons, if you're listening to this ahead of time, I'm just letting you know we're recording this on January 1st. 2021.
I also, here's an Easter egg from last year. We recorded at this time last year, we were recording Donna Troy and Cassie Sandsmark. And I think in both of them, we're like, yeah, we're doing this for Wonder Woman month coming out.
Yep.
And we just put them out whenever.
I don't care. I don't care. It's the only way we can make the research of this podcast work.
Yeah.
And you patrons get the inside secret of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank you so much for your support, guys. And yeah, if there's no Patreon thought of the day every once in a while, this is why.
Yeah.
So.
But we love you, Patreon babies.
We love you. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Bye-bye.
Bye.